Hey everybody, Patrick McFarlane here of the Liberty Bigly podcast. Welcome back to another episode. Today is Wednesday and it already feels like it's been such a long week. I've mostly been focusing on my own projects at night and just kind of trying to get through the week and get the work done that I need to get done at work. I'm working on this brief right now for a default judgment motion, and it's been like 3 or 4 months that we've been passing drafts around, and it's getting down to crunch time, so we need to file it. But it's just been a pretty monumental task going through thousands of pages of medical records and putting that all together. And default judgments are interesting because sometimes you have to have an evidentiary hearing to determine the amount of damages if the defendant doesn't show up. And you can get overturned pretty easily if you prove up. So like a default judgment is when you file a lawsuit and the other person doesn't answer. And so they just don't show up. So you have to take care to try and prove your damages. And you can do that through an evidentiary hearing. But you got to be really careful because you could try and do it without getting all the doctors in to testify and cross, you know. But anyways, I digress. In this episode, I wanted to talk about, I listened to the Unloose the Goose podcast for the first time with Pete Quinones. And I know the Dangerous History, Prof. CJ from Dangerous History. I don't really know the other people. I've listened to Jack Spearco maybe once or twice. But since we're kind of on the topic of, I've talked about reloading and that, I don't think that appeals to the, you know, super technical episodes about reloading or shooting or anything like that. Doesn't really appeal to the entire audience, but it got me thinking because I spent the, I got a bunch more equipment. And so I spent most of the night setting that up and starting the process of reloading a bunch of, cartridges. Pretty interesting and fun. I also cleaned my AK for the first time. That was really fun. Pretty intuitive. I know that's probably why it's the weapon of choice for child soldiers. But now that we've gotten controversial, I was on the I was listening to the Unloose the Goose podcast, and they were talking about the potential for civil unrest, much like a lot of people are. Kind of like, you know, Tim Pool's talking about civil war and has been for a couple of years, maybe a year now. And just talking about the possibility of it, but also it's especially prescient when Prof. CJ talks about it because he has, you know, he knows history very well and there are certain signs of declining empires. And he was talking about how one of the biggest signs of a declining empire is that you suddenly stop seeing goods shipped in from faraway lands. And that's kind of what's happening right now with the United States. It's getting harder and harder to find goods that are imported from other countries because, you know, even historians seem to know that when you are having free trade, it's better for everyone. That's the hallmark of a great civilization, is when they trade, there's free trade and you can get goods from all over the world. But I was reloading, and this is tangentially related, but James Corbett always talks about being ready and being prepared. And one thing that you really need to have in this day of internet censorship is locally sourced information. So you should have one or two external hard drives. If you're an info warrior, you should have one or two external hard drives that you can save information from the internet on, like PDFs of articles that you found, because one day it's not going to be there. Or he likened it to the Digital Library of Alexandria burning. And this is something I need to get better at, although, you know, I don't really do a whole lot of actual research on the internet in terms of finding articles and looking up dates and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I do research for the Liberty Weekly podcast on legal topics, but you have a subscription. I guess I download some stuff from Mises. I know that will be up there. But it's something, an interesting concept that everyone should go out and buy an external hard drive. Yeah, everyone should have a podcast, especially with anchor.fm. And you should go out and buy an external hard drive and start saving all of the interesting articles and research papers and Mises Wire articles and all that that you come across for reference later. And you should definitely download every episode of the Liberty Weekly podcast and the Liberty Bigly podcast and keep that backed up somewhere. I don't. That's something that I need to do in case I get deplatformed. However, one thing that was interesting, and it kind of gets on the topic of agorism and these 3D printed guns, is that I was able to, in reloading, and I swear this won't be a completely spurging out reloading episode from here on out, but in reloading, you need load data. You need to know, based on the weight of your bullet, you need to know how much powder to put into the casing. And it's very important to get that right, obviously, because you could end up blowing things up if you don't get it right. And this is information that, you know, in a SHTF situation, a shit hits the fan situation, you're going to have this information locally sourced. And, you know, interesting enough, on a whim, I really need one of the most popular reloading handbooks, because I bought a bullet that's a lead cast bullet. It doesn't have a metal jacket around it. It's just pure lead cast because it was really cheap. And I got it at a weight that is somewhat uncommon. It's less common, 115 grains. And I need to know exactly how many grains of this powder that I bought I should use with this load so that it doesn't blow up or that the velocity is too small. So I went on to most of the reloading manuals on the internet. They don't have the data that I need for this weight of a bullet. And so I was able, on a whim, I went to the Pirate Bay to see if they had this reloading book, and alas, they did have it. And I'm not going to comment on whether or not I downloaded it and looked at it. However, for those of you who aren't familiar, the Pirate Bay is the most popular peer-to-peer pirating website where people file share. So if you have a digital file, you can put it on a peer-to-peer website and other people across the world can copy your file. And it's what, you know, is used to pirate DVDs or movies, make digital copies and make it available for free to everyone. Sorry about that. I'm recording at night after everyone's in bed. It's, I guess, part of the charm of Liberty Bigly. It's getting an exhausted Patrick McFarlane just kind of pontificating. But so it's interesting that we need to have these offline reservoirs of information, just as important as having offline, well, food sources, being unplugged from the grid, everything like that. Pretty damn important. But in terms of, you know, whether or not shit is going to hit the fan in the next few weeks, I really couldn't tell you. I really hope not. It'd be really nice to go back to normal, but I just don't see any sign of that happening. And I think certain people are getting exasperated and maybe to the point where it's kind of a powder keg situation. And who knows? What I certainly think I agreed with in the episode is this idea that you don't have to be in, like, everyone has in mind that a shit hits the fan situation is going to be like you go outside and you hear gunshots in the distance and like explosions happening, and it's just a constant 24/7 in your area kind of war zone situation, and there's going to be armies marching at each other and engaging in open battle, when in reality
you could think back to World War II, the reality is that there's battle lines, yes, but everything is just pockets of sporadic conflagrations. And sometimes there's sustained actual battle lines and conflagrations, but the way that we've seen warfare develop in the last few decades is more of an insurgency kind of thing. And especially that is especially kind of what we're seeing right now. But that's what we would see, especially in this situation, if it progressed any further. And for example, soldiers, and this was another episode on Free Man Beyond the Wall, but soldiers who went to Iraq and Afghanistan, they said that definitely when you drove through the streets of Baghdad, there would be people. It wasn't the norm to see people shooting at each other and explosions happening and all that you see in Hollywood. You mostly saw people trying to go on with their life as usual as it could be. And on one street, you would have an IED going off, but two blocks over, you would have a guy out in his front yard tidying things up or trying to see to his plants or mowing his lawn or something like that. Insert things that Baghdadis do every day, go to the market or what have you. So that's kind of what we're seeing now with these conflagrations happening, popping up in Washington, Seattle, Portland, LA, New York, in some ways, Chicago, some of this gang violence that's happening. So also interesting is that there's no ammunition available right now. And maybe it's because people have already bought it up and stockpiled it. But I have to think that if things really kicked off, there would be a priority to ammunition manufacturing. I remember talking a few years ago that the ATF has stockpiled millions and millions, maybe billions of rounds of rifle ammunition that the government agencies and the army has stockpiled, just an incredible amount of ammunition. And what would they need that for? Situation like this, or to keep it from the public, or maybe they are like your FUD grandpa. They just like to reload ammunition and just hoard it all and keep it. They won't shoot it. So yeah, definitely interesting. I think that everyone's priority should be looking after their family and themselves. And this kind of goes back to an episode that I did for Liberty Weekly called The Luxury of Principles. And it was talking about that. We had a roundtable discussion about that scene in The Patriot where he goes to the meeting of the Continental Congress. Well, not the Continent. It's, I think it's like a North Carolina or South Carolina legislature meeting. And they're voting on whether or not to draft a levy and send it to help the Continental Army. And the main character, Mel Gibson's character, Benjamin Martin, says, I'm not going to fight in a war for American independence, and I won't vote for something that would send others to fight in my stead. And everyone asks, well, I thought you were a man of principle. And Benjamin Martin says, I'm a parent. I haven't the luxury of principles. So that's where I got the line from that episode from. But it's a really interesting concept. What would you do if things really were to kick off? You would think that you would want to be, well, first of all, it wouldn't look like what it looked like back then, which is a clearly defined side where you left your family to go join the Continentals or to join a militia group, and you went out and camped and did these grand campaigns or what have you. I actually started writing a story about what I would think it would look like, where there's this, the main character is a woman who is a single mom, but she didn't start out as a single mom, so don't, she is with her young son, and they live in a metropolitan area, and the boyfriend slash father, baby daddy, is a starry-eyed libertarian, and he decides that it's after the election and Antifa is going around, or Black Lives Matter. They are, it's like the, this concept of a fascism or rule by mob, or like a totalitarian state that is totalitarian because it selectively enforces laws. So you, not only do you have all the downsides of the fascist boot on your throat, but you, with the state, but you also have the downside of the fascist rule of mob, or the communist rule of mob, where the mob goes around beating the crap out of you. And the fascist state won't put the mob down. So you're getting it from two sides. You're getting the worst of both worlds. I think that's kind of what we're getting, is that you have the fascist police state that selectively enforces laws with an iron fist and creates black markets. And then on the other side, you have what's really just a tool of the elites in the state, which is the outrage mob and the literal mob who runs around ruling, well, putting everyone down and being tyrannical via mob rule. So my main character, her boyfriend has gone off to join some kind of a militia movement who's actively fighting an insurgency against the U.S. government. And the whole thing is where she's just been left behind. And kind of the point that I'm going with in the story is that you can have your libertarian ideals, but you're not going to have much freedom for yourself and your family if you go off fighting an insurgency to gain more liberty, because what the actual effect is that you're going to leave your family alone and deprive your son of your presence and your upbringing and your mentorship and your wife of her husband. And in reality, that's not really creating a lot of freedom for yourself or your family and your kids, who is, they will suffer while you're gone. They won't be well. The result might not really change, but it would have been better had you stayed. And so she's left behind and grappling with being alone, except she wants to move out of the city, except her mother lives in the city with her. And her mother is like a Kool-Aid drinking liberal, and she poo-poos the mob, and is kind of on their side. Even though the city is crumbling because the infrastructure and the law and order is broken down, kind of like New York City, I'm picturing this book or story being in. And she can't leave, she can't bring herself to leave the city and leave her mother. And so she's hanging around in this dangerous area. And of course, everyone has to wear masks. And kind of where I'm at with the story is that she's working remotely, but for childcare, she goes to her mom's house every day. So she'll sit in the dining room on Zoom, working an inane job with a bunch of empty-headed people. And her mother watches her son and whispers liberal propaganda into his ears. And she's working one day, and she has had no contact with her boyfriend or husband or what have you, who's run off to fight this libertarian insurgency. And all of a sudden, one day during work, she gets a message from him for the first time in a very long time. And so that kind of kicks off the storyline a bit, where I'm trying to thicken the plot. But it's supposed to be a character-driven story where he, the boyfriend, realizes that he made a big mistake by leaving them. And she realizes that she has to leave the city, and under the pretense maybe of meeting up with him, except things happen which she realizes that she needs to get away both from her mom and forget about dad. But I don't know how that portends for like I don't know, a men's rights kind of thing, like not a MGTOW thing, but anyway, so it's the story I've written, I don't know, 7 or 8 pages of. Been kicking it around, just haven't had a lot of time to work on it. Kind of writer's block situation too. But I think it has potential, and what I wanted to do was create like a series of short stories told from differing perspectives in the post-2020 dystopia that we're living in, and kind of do thought experiments about things kicking off a bit and just progressively getting worse and worse and worse, and imagining what that might look like, or what might happen, or potentially how we could prepare for it, or what the human stories are going to be and the human experiences going through all of this. I think it's certainly very interesting. Like, my idea was, if you've ever heard of or read DayZ, I think it's called. It was the Brad Pitt movie, the zombie movie with Brad Pitt. It's based on a book, and I think it's by Max Brooks. I think it's called DayZ, but he tells the story of like a zombie apocalypse from what I understand is from the perspective of tons of different people and their own stories. So I kind of wanted it to be like that. But well, I think I'm going to wrap it up there, and I have my second voice message for the anchor.fm Liberty Bigley podcast. So if you, I mentioned this on the last show, but if you go on to anchor.fm, there's a button where you can leave me a voicemail, and you can do this on your phone in the app, I'm almost positive, and I can put it in the show very easily. So here's a demonstration of that. But this was from Daniel Elwood, and he wanted to say hello and hello to the audience and to plug the actual Anarchy podcast and our appearance on it. But Daniel's a good friend. I'm very glad he left this message, and we had a good time recording with him last night. So I'll play his message here at the end of the podcast so you can kind of see how that works. And I wanted to, well, I was going to put in a mid-roll sponsor segment, but interestingly enough, I am going to switch the Liberty Weekly podcast over to anchor.fm from my host Libsyn, where I've been hosting it since I started the show. But yeah, so I'll tossing around the idea of putting in a mid-roll ad, but I'll put that at the beginning so you will have already heard it. But thanks everyone for listening. Hope to be talking at you tomorrow. And here's Daniel Elwood.
Hey, buddy. Daniel Elwood here of the Actual Anarchy podcast and also the Last Nighters. Thank you so much for the shout out and for your appearance with your lovely wife on our show talking about the Addams Family. I do appreciate you being a guest multiple times and the contributions that you both made, and also the shout out that you gave on your most recent episode of the Liberty Bigley podcast talking about counterculture and how conservatism is apparently now the new counterculture. So keep up the good work, buddy. I really admire what you do. And thanks again for being a guest. We'd love to have you back on sometime in the near future. And with that, I'll say maximum freedom. Peace out.